Okay, Mark, it's morning coffee time. It's not an evening bar recording today.
Yeah,
I've
that was a
got a
great
coffee.
intro, Cam.
So I've got a
Yeah,
coffee
you
with my
may need some.
Liverpool mug. That's
Yeah,
right.
yeah,
Yeah.
yes. Yeah, you may need some more of that coffee. Yes, the bar isn't usually open this morning. It's all good. It's all good. I'm all good.
You
Did you
okay?
know, by the way, Cam, a little thing that I read this morning. 19 years ago, this very day, the first ever YouTube video was uploaded.
Wow. Oh, you're right. That's 19 years ago.
Yeah,
That's good
so.
because I use YouTube. I use YouTube a lot. I do listen to, not necessarily watching, but I do listen to stuff on YouTube quite a lot.
Yeah,
And so
absolutely.
do you know, so what was it then? What was the first
The
video?
first one, it was a guy called, I think it was a guy called Jawed, JAWED, and the title was "Me at the Zoo," and it's a picture of video of him in front of some elephants going. The really cool thing about these elephants is that they've got really long trunks. I'm like, oh, cheers for that, mate. But there you go. That was the first ever YouTube video 19 years ago today.
Yeah, you know, out of all the
Craziness.
social media platforms, I like YouTube more than any of the others. That's probably the one that I would probably, if we lost YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, all of that, if it went, I'd be quite happy. YouTube, on the other hand, I think is okay, it's a different type of social media platform, but I love YouTube. It's great. Anyway, so Mark, what have we got today?
Well, we're looking at a couple of stories, aren't we? First, we're gonna chat about photo editing and how much is too much, and how you should do it and how you shouldn't do it, and all that kind of stuff. And there was also a story that I found, and I'll be honest, I don't know who this person is.
Oh,
I'm sure you. No, I don't watch. So, is someone from, is it Ted Lasso? I've not watched
Oh,
it.
you must have
So,
watched Ted Lasso. Who
no,
hasn't
I
watched Ted
haven't.
Lasso and
Well, I
absolutely
haven't.
loved Ted Lasso? Got to
I'm.
watch.
What's it about? I don't even know.
Okay, well, first of all, without giving anything away about the story, some people might watch it and think, oh, it's about football. I'm not interested, don't like football at all. It's football based, but it's not really nothing to do with football. So even if you don't like football, it's you should watch it. The story is a lot wider than that. Very funny, but anyway, one of the main characters, had a had some words with a photographer recently, didn't she? So and we'll come on to that. But first off,
Absolutely.
we're going to kick off with the editing. Now, at the moment, I'm taking a group of level three students through a course now. On the courses that I teach, I do a level one, level two, and level three. And the great thing about level three is it's a real opportunity for students where their project that they're doing on level three leads to an exhibition in our local town centre, in a gallery in our local town centre. So it's very
That's
exciting
cool.
because they're going to be exhibiting their work. The gallery is all booked for later this year. They're all very, very excited, very nervous about it. So it's something to really look forward to. Now, we had a session last night, and I was talking to them about Lightroom because a lot of them don't really get into editing that much. Some use Lightroom, some don't, some use some other editing software. But they're photography students, they're not photo editing students. Okay, so we concentrate more on the photography side of things. Now, what I said to them was, we want to make sure that the photography exhibition, the images that they present that go up in the exhibition, are not images that people will look at and say, oh, these have been really heavily photoshopped. The sky is so green and orangey blue. It was never like that before, and that's cheating. And I don't want to go down that route. I want them to try and keep their photos as real as possible. So the only corrections really they're going to be doing are going to be exposure, contrast, your blacks, your whites, highlights, that type of thing. They're not going to be really editing things out. They'll be cropping, but no editing things out carefully, unless we really have to. No coloring the sky a different color and dropping things in. It's going to be a photography exhibition about photography. It's not going to be a photography exhibition that's going to be very heavily photo edited. And it sort of got me thinking that where should, as photographers, you know, where should photo editing be taken to? Now, we know that it can be taken anywhere in film and photography. But, I mean, how much editing do you do, say, on your family portraits, Mark?
You know? It honestly depends. So it the only rule of thumb I have, really, when it comes to editing, well, the airbrushing side of things anyway, is if it's temporary, then you're fine to remove it. If it's something that's there like forever, do not remove it at all. So generally I do a lot of curves and levels. You have to dodge the background out a little bit because it's never completely white. You know, it's whitish, and you do have to dodge it out a little bit. And yeah, maybe have a look at the colors. I have a style where the colors kind of pop a little more than your normal colors. So, and that's just the style that I do. But only by a little bit. It's not crazy. So yeah, I mean, it can be a while doing a family shoot. I mean, the stuff that I do is really sort of high end. So I do take time of it, especially when it comes to, because I then re-edit them if they've got, you know, frame products and things like that to print. So I then re-edit them, and I do spend a lot more time on those ones than I do with the first edit part. But yeah, just because it's so high end. So
yeah, and going back recently, I've been doing quite a lot of products. For sort of food products for a company that we've been doing work for quite a few years. And all the products that we're shooting for them are literally just white background stuff because they put them on Amazon and other sort of selling sites. And that's all they need. Okay, they need just their images. So the images are done and they're shot and the backgrounds are just made to white. That's how they need them. Now, what the only thing is with their products is they have labels on their products. So we have to take out any sell-by dates. And also there's a lot of imperfections within some of the labels. So there's creases. When you put a sticky label down, it's got a crease. So we had to take those creases out. And the other thing we notice is that the labels often aren't put on straight either.
Straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got a jar and the label is like, you know, it's you know, it's lopsided. So we have to literally correct that and put the label correct. So we have to make it look pristine. Now,
they'd give you some products that actually had a straight label on just to make your job a little easier, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But there's all these, you know, when you look at something close up like a label, you know, it's all these little marks in these little labels and everything. Mm. And that's where editing sort of within product photography is really important. You know, I get that all the time. If we're shooting anything, any sort of product, it always needs some sort of editing. It's got to look perfect once it's going to go on on a selling site, on the company's own website or something. It's got to look pristine. It's got to look brand new. You know, when you go to Apple or Nike and you see their trainers on their websites and their phones and everything, they look immaculate. You know, some of them are illustrations, not even real products. Okay, so, you know, they're not necessarily photography, but we're talking about photography. Now, so you've got portraits, we're talking about product photography. I've got a shoot on Friday where I'm going to do it's like a big industrial engine and in a factory warehouse. Now, they want that, they want the background completely white on that for their own reasons. That's what they need. We've got this, I would say, dirty, horrible factory. It's not. It's quite a clean factory, actually. But the machine's got to be lit, and then the background will be completely edited out. And there'll be a few imperfections on the machine that we'll look out for and edit those bits and pieces as well. Okay, so those are there. That's what I would call necessary editing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem that I think where it lies with photographers is that when you're out shooting general photography, is how long are people spending on editing their images afterwards? Because I was showing the group yesterday, if you know what you're doing, and it takes years of experience to do that, it takes a long time to actually learn it. Okay. You can edit a picture that you've just taken outside, say a bit of greenery or something, within less than 5 seconds in Lightroom. Okay. Up the exposure, maybe the contrast, blacks, whites, highlights. If you know what you're looking for, it's really easy to do. But I know that a lot of people would open up their images and they'd be spending hours on what would be, I would call, unnecessary editing.
It's very rare I do a lot of editing if I was taking a landscape, I'll be honest.
But I mean, a lot of people do. That's, I think that's my point. A lot of people do. They start to think, well, I've got to bring the sky
about,
in.
Yeah, but I think you're talking about landscapes as though that's a really big sort of genre in the industry. I mean, I don't know many people, many photographers who make a living on just landscape photography. It might be something they do. I mean, I do a lot of it just for me, really. I don't do it to sell anything, or I've never been commissioned to do a landscape photo. I mean, for me, if you're going to edit... You're going to edit a bit of that. I mean, it really depends on what you're doing. If you're doing like straight documentary photography, then you should really keep the editing to an absolute minimum, if at all. I mean, you know, you might want to crop it. That does count as editing. Like you said, you might want to adjust the exposure a little bit. And that's no different to doing stuff in the darkroom, you know, you're dodging and you're burning and all that kind of stuff. So that's okay. It's if you, like you say, if you plant an extra tree in there or take a tree out, you know, and that's, but then on the flip side, if you have someone, I don't know, say a National Trust has asked you to photograph one of their houses in the landscape or whatever, and you know, you're taking a picture and you notice sort of a few meters down there, there's a I don't know, a Coke can or something, because some Egypt hasn't picked up after themselves. You wouldn't necessarily go over to that Coke can, get rid of the Coke can, and then retake the picture. You'd probably get rid of it in Photoshop or something, wouldn't you? And maybe pick up the can anyway. But
I mean, it depends how long it's going to take. If it's quicker to go and pick the can up, I'd always go and pick the can up and take it out.
Yeah, but if it's like halfway down the road or something, you're just going to retake it. And because that is a commissioned job to make this house look as best as possible, you don't want any litter in the picture. That you know, a cow might have done something, you know, in the foreground, and you might want to get rid of that out. Do you know what I mean? All those sorts of things, because you've been commissioned to advertise this stately home, and it's got to be a beautiful picture. And that is fine. I think what you're doing with your students is more about documentary, and more about the you know, that kind of art of documentary photography. And of course, you want to keep that editing to a minimum. But then there is the argument, well, you're editing in camera anyway, because you're pointing a camera in a certain place and you're maybe cropping the bins over there and you don't want that in. So, I mean, you're kind of editing there as well. So, you know, it's very contentious. I always have issues with people like who kind of have, not necessarily have a dig, but they go, oh, airbrushing is this. And I see it on TV all the time about how evil airbrushing is. And I love the phrase, it's called Photoshopped and Photoshopping. I mean, Adobe must be absolutely loving that. But, you know, and I think I mentioned this a few years ago on an episode, airbrushing is not new. Photoshop didn't bring airbrushing. The Victorians were airbrushing on their glass plates. They were doing it with a brush. And, you know, so it's been around forever. And then if you really want to take it further back, all the kings and queens portraits, you know, King Henry VIII and Elizabeth I and all those, you know, they are a very flattering version of themselves, I'm sure, given the day. You know, they were paintings, you know. If Henry VIII had a big nose on, a big spot on the end of his nose, that ain't going to be in the portrait, is it? So it's always been there.
I mean, going back to this, you're right. I mean, going back to this, this industrial machine that I'll be shooting on Friday, we used to, this is the actual photography aspect. It was nothing new. I've been doing this for years, but I remember going back years ago, I'm talking probably 20 years ago now, I used to do exactly the same type of photography. And we used to have a guy local to here who used to then airbrush the backgrounds out. So it was happening there. But I remember going over to his studio and he'd have all of those pens and those little blower brushes and everything. And I mean, that was an art. Doing it in Photoshop is a lot easier. It's not the art so much now, you know. It's learning a software, you know, it's learning a program rather than the art side of things, you know.
AI is now taking it even further, isn't it?
Well, exactly, because I think you'd just be able to say take the background out, you know, and it would do it for you, you know. And I think that's already there. So, but I think it's more a case of me saying, let's keep photography, you know, about keeping things real, and photographers should be concentrating on shooting and becoming better photographers rather than thinking I've got to learn the editing and spending hours in front of a computer when they should be spending hours behind a camera and actually shooting. And, going to. That's what I think. I I'll be completely honest. My editing skills are lacking now because I've not done it for years. I had somebody here who worked with me who did all of the editing for me, so I never really did it. I know about exposure corrections and colors really well. But when it comes to editing things out and taking things out of backgrounds and cutting machines out of backgrounds, I outsource all of that. It's all done by somebody else. So I won't sit in front of a computer doing all of those careful editing and retouches because it's not something that I've ever really got involved in. And I think that's partly the reason why, I think it's made me a better photographer. Because to me, it's so important to get it right at camera stage or as close as I possibly can. Well, I always know that every image is going to need some editing. It's like going back to negative days. Every image has to go through a Lightroom editing process.
Yes,
just to maybe just to tweak that exposure. Digital images are slightly soft. They're made there to be edited.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about making them look fake either. I think Instagram hasn't helped that, has it? With their filters.
Well. You see, that goes back, but that's the sort of thing that I was saying about before. Airbrush has been around for donkeys. It's just made it more accessible. The Instagram filters hasn't changed society's perception on what beauty is and what someone should look like. If you're thinking about a model in a glossy magazine or whatever, Instagram hasn't changed our perception of that. It's just made it accessible to everybody rather than models and photographers and all that kind of stuff. So it's, now Mr. and Mrs. Joe Blogs can have that kind of airbrushing done to themselves. So I wouldn't necessarily Instagram made it worse. It just made it accessible for everybody. And it carries on with mobile phones. You got these phones now that do face swaps and things like that. Well, it's never going to do it as well as maybe I can do it, but it's still there. If you have a group photo, I remember when, my grandparents or my aunts, they would always take about 3 photos on film just to be sure that no one was blinking or anything like that. Well, you don't do that anymore, do you? So even there's editing there, isn't there? So my great aunts were ridiculous for it. They would take 3 shots of every group shot. Every time it'd be 3 shots and they'd pick the best one. Well, that's a form of editing. So it's always been there. For me, it's just knowing where the line is. So if a baby, for example, has a strawberry mark on their face, I don't remove it because that's part of their life, that's part of their story. It may go eventually, but that's still part of the story. However, if a teenager's got, like I said, the big spot on their nose or on the middle of their forehead, I'll remove it for them because they're probably gutted that the one day they've come into a studio they've got this spot on the end of their nose. Of course I'm going to remove it for them. So it's just really common sense and that's it. Really.
So when it comes to image editing programs, I think a lot of people would be interested in this is what should people be using? I think a lot of people are going to say, we're like Adobe is, I guess, the industry standard, but a lot of people don't have Photoshop. They don't have Lightroom and they don't want to go into purchasing it and going into the monthly or yearly subscription, which is fair enough. But when you buy, when you buy a camera, you usually get some image editing software. I think Nikon, Canon, and I'm not going to say which ones because I'm not familiar with them at all. But they do have their own image editing software. There's a lot of free stuff that you get just with when you buy a computer. I think there's image editing in there that allows you to correct exposure, change things to black and white, change the contrast, blacks, highlights. And those programs, I think, are absolutely fine. 99% of people, non-professionals, they don't have to. If you haven't got Lightroom, it's not the end of the world. If you don't use Lightroom, you can use any image editing software and it's going to give you all of the standard basic corrections that you're going to need. I think the problem is a lot of people who don't really know what to do, they'll open up Lightroom and they're playing with all sorts of things. And yes, it's good to play and learn and find out what they do. But the more corrections you make, I think the more issues and the more problems that you end up creating for yourself when you've overlooked the basics like exposure, contrast, highlights, lowlights, blacks, that type of thing, and color.
Well, I don't know. I think if anyone is just playing around with stuff, that's the joy of it, isn't it? I'd never sort of sort of curtail people wanting to try something new.
No, but they overlook the basics.
But if they're not being a professional and they don't have any, you know, they just want to play, just play around. That's the joy of it. And just don't just back up your original images. That would be my first thing. Don't save over it and then you can't go back to it. Always save your images, maybe. And then when if you're gonna save something you've edited, I don't know, stick an A on the end of your file name or put edited or something like that. Because you know, if you're new to this software, I'll guarantee in about a year's time, you'll look back at that and you'll go, what was I doing there? Because I've done that. I'm sure you have as well, Cam.
And that's a really good point.
But that's natural. That's natural because if you're just learning something, of course, you're going to look at something that you thought was amazing a year back because you've improved so much. You'll go, oh my word, what was that? It's fine. But, you know, you're right. There are some, Canon have Camera Raw. I'm sure Nikon have something. I'm sure Sony have something. And they're fine. They're just basic, you know, raw development, you know, shadows, highlights, see what they can do and all that kind of stuff. I don't think they go, it's more, I mean, we discussed Lightroom and Photoshop. Lightroom is really good for sort of bulk things. And it was for basic editing. It's a bit more involved now, isn't it? But the main reason I use Lightroom is just for your shadow, your highlights, and then you can sync them through a few photos and all that kind of stuff. Right. And I think the free editing software is about that kind of thing. It's Lightroom stuff, really, isn't it? So it's your general generics.
I think Adobe have set the template as well, haven't they, for the design and the layout, the format of everything, the look. So many software companies have really just copied that same design, giving it that same feel and everything. They've set the sort of they're the leaders very much, aren't they? I think so.
I mean, it's good what they've done because Lightroom for me is for batch imaging. So if I was shooting a wedding, I'd do it through Lightroom because you can batch them and it's a lot quicker. Photoshop for me is really about individual pictures. You know, so and with Photoshop you can like the stuff I do with my time punk stuff, the cosplay stuff that I've done, I would never be able to do that through Lightroom. That would always be through Photoshop. You know, you can cut people out, you can add other things in, you can use layers, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, layers are amazing. That's the main difference I think between Photoshop and Lightroom is the layer situation. But I think you're right. All those free ones. If you're just starting out, the stuff you get with your camera, there's no reason why I'd just start up on that first, and then if you really get into it, that's when to move on to the other things.
Yeah, good stuff. But there's a whole range of programs out there that anyone can use. Just start with the most basic one. Start with a free one, whatever you've got, and start learning the basics first. And don't over edit. I think that's what I'm saying. So
yes.
Okay. Good stuff. Mark, let's grab a drink and then we'll crack on. Okay, right. So, Mark, we're going to talk about a photography story that's a little bit sexist, shall we say?
Yeah, well, this is the question, I guess. I think it's a story that I saw. I saw some people talking about this on TV, so I thought this would be a good thing for us to talk about. I'm just going to put it out there, right? So this is involving one of the actors from Ted Lasso. I've not watched Ted Lasso. I don't even know who this lady is, but she's in Ted Lasso and I've not watched it. So Cam, maybe you could tell us who these people are.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Hannah Waddingham. Now I'd never heard of Hannah Waddingham until I watched Ted Lasso. And she's great in Ted Lasso. And then, you know, when you see somebody once, think, I've never seen that person before, then you keep seeing them.
Yeah.
Then I think that she did, I think she then hosted Big Brother or a program similar to Big Brother, that type of thing.
Again, but a program I never watched. So.
Okay, no, I don't watch it either. And I know she was doing it. Then she presented or is a presenter occasionally on Loose Women, which is a daytime program here in the UK.
I know of it, yeah.
Right, okay. So
again,
she's
not
been
something
on that.
I watch.
Yeah, and I think maybe she's done something like Come Dancing or something. Anyway, she's a really popular presenter.
Okay.
I think she's brilliant. And she put a photographer, or she told a photographer what she thought, didn't she, when he tried to take a photo of her at a public event.
Okay, so basically, the photographer basically, she was, it was some sort of event, wasn't it? And I think it was at the Olivia Awards. And she was basically standing. She had one of those dresses, you know, those dresses that had the slit down one side. So it shows off the legs, basically. And the photographer, in true paparazzi style, basically said, can you show us a bit of leg to her?
Yeah.
So in other words, he was saying, can you just turn a little bit, show your leg? You know, because that's what the dress is designed to do. Now, bear in mind, she had been asked to do this already. I think another photographer said it. Now, I must admit, I don't like the term that the photographer used here. I think show us a bit of leg, I think it's 80s and 90s, isn't it?
It's a bit dated.
It is massively dated. That aside, it's not as if she wasn't wearing a dress that was designed to do this. I mean, that is why she's wearing the dress, right? Because it's designed to do that. And obviously all the photographer really was doing, in a really crass way, which, as I said, I don't like the language that was used, was basically saying, can you turn so we can see that? Because it heightens people. That's why the dresses are like that. It makes people look taller. And it's a very elegant dress. And basically that's the shot the photographer wanted. So I agree that the language used was, he should have said something else, but I don't know. This photographer was getting a real sort of, he was just doing his job, really. He was posing someone using bad language. No, don't get me wrong. The language, it's not language I would never say to a model in my studio, come on, let's see, you know, in that way. I might say, oh, I just want to turn because you got the slit in the dress and it shows off your leg. That's probably the way I would say it, something like that. But then that's because they're wearing that dress for that reason. You know what I mean?
We've got to be very careful here, haven't we? Because somebody might well say, oh, no, but is she? Is she showing it? Is she wearing that dress to show off her leg with that slit there? Maybe she just likes that design. So we've got to be very careful here.
But the thing is, right?
I mean, the photographer... Right there. Sorry, go on.
I just want to say this, though. And this is the thing that kind of annoys me a little bit, because she said, oh, my... So to the photographer, she said, oh, my God, you'd never say that to a man, my friend, she says. Don't be a dick. That's what she said to the photographer. Well, no, you wouldn't say that to a man, because a man wouldn't be wearing that dress most of the time. Obviously, there are exceptions to that. And maybe, actually, do you know what? If I was in that position and a man was wearing something like that, I probably would say it, to be honest with you.
So would you,
but
then
not
say
in that way. I wouldn't say that phrase as it was.
So if a guy was, let's say, wearing a shirt and he had three buttons undone on the shirt, would you say, you know, hey Max, you know, undo the rest of the buttons on your shirt.
But the photographer's not asking that. The photographer's not asking to take the dress off. All the photographer's no, doing is asking her to turn to the side so we can see the design of the dress. Right.
Yeah, I think the point here is the way that he said it.
Yes.
Okay, was just wrong.
Which I completely agree. The way he said it was wrong.
Yeah, and she said, "Oh my God, you never say that to a man, my friend. Don't be a dick, otherwise I'll move off. Don't say show more leg." No, shaking her finger in the air, and then she walked away immediately afterwards, as the crowd, as the watching crowd, emitted a cheer. Waddington can be seen turning and continuing to chide the photographer. She walks away. Have some manners. And it says 2 years back in this article, it says Waddingham also got some pickup. It says when photographers at another Ted Lasso event called for her to blow a kiss, to which she smilingly responded, no. Now, I'd like to know who these photographers are and what era they come from, because I can't see any photographers who are probably under 40, even under 50, are of that era where they would even say or think of stuff like that and saying that that's acceptable or it's not acceptable.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, the mentality of somebody to actually say that, you know, Mark, you're 100% right. And you said, yes, he should have said, look, can we just turn to the side a little bit? Okay,
But also, fine. I just want to say, and again, I wouldn't use this the language that was used, but... It's very quick. You know this because you photographed Katie Price, didn't you? And it had to be really, really quick. Get it on, you know, get the shot done, and then she moves on. Well, this is probably the same. So you don't have the time to go, oh, excuse me, can you just turn just a little bit here just so we can do this there, just as that. You don't have the time to say that. So I guess he went, show us the leg. Everyone knew what it meant. Do you know what I mean? Maybe that was his mindset. I've just got to say that so the person knows what I want her, you know, to do. It comes across as sexist. Of course it does. And that's why I wouldn't use the phrase. But I think everyone wants to see me piling on here. You know, if I was taking pictures of Hulk Hogan, right, I would say, get the pythons out. Do you know what I mean? I would. You know, he'd be like, you know, because that's Hulk Hogan. That's what he does. You know, 16 inch pythons, brother. You know, that's what he would do. So actually, when you said, would you get him to put down their shirt? No, I wouldn't get him to do that. But I would say, come on, flex your muscles for the photo. But I would probably say, show us your pythons, because that's his thing, isn't it?
I tell you what, I'm knocking the photographer here, but what I will say, and you've already said this, Mark, really, but you've got to say, really, that photographer knows, he knew what he wanted, okay?
I would say,
even without looking at his images, I bet he's a blimmin' good photographer, okay?
Yeah.
Because I say this to a lot of people, is the best photographers are the photographers that are commanding. They're instructing, they're talking behind the camera to their subject. The photographers that are quiet, they want to stay hidden behind the camera, aren't good, in my opinion, in the main, aren't necessarily good photographers, because the camera is that barrier between them and the subject. This photographer, okay, yeah, fine, he went about it in the wrong way, but he had a job to do. He was doing the job to the best of his ability. He said something in a way that he shouldn't have said it, but I can't fault him for he's a confident photographer.
Yeah.
He's a damn guy. He could teach a lot of people how to become good photographers, that guy.
Yeah. He should have probably just said something like, just turn to your left or something like that. Or turn to your right, whichever side this slits at. But then there is a certain pose that he was after, because I've done this, you know, I've had families who have come in and they got maybe teenage daughters or whatever, and they then change into their ball gowns because they're going to do their prom or something like that. And some of them do wear this, you know, this dress with the slit. It's a little uncomfortable because they're probably only about 15, 16, but you know, but that's ball gowns. That's what it is. Mm. But you know, and I do say, you know, turn, and we want to really stress that bit of the dress. Cause that's, why else would they be wearing it? You know, it's a design. It's to be shown off, that bit. And I don't know, there is a certain pose, isn't it? We all seen that pose with those dresses, haven't we? We've all seen it. And yeah, like I said, there's a ray of phrase in it, isn't there? And
I think there's lessons to be learned. Yeah, but no, there's lessons to be learned here as photographers for those people that are already in industry or thinking of coming into the industry or just getting into the industry, is make sure that you show yourself as being a confident photographer, not a cocky photographer, but a confident photographer.
Yeah.
Okay, know how to talk to people. You need to learn all of this. Learn how to talk to people. Learn how to get the best out of people so they respond. Even in instances where you don't have 2 seconds to even think about it, you just say it automatically without thinking about it because you're so experienced, so well-versed, but you know what to say. You're not going to insult, embarrass anyone, show anyone up, but you know what to say. You get your shots, and you've done it with a bit of class as well, but you've also been commanding as well. And learn that. Learn to become a vocal photographer. Always tell people what you want to do. But we have to now, more than in this woke culture that we are now very much in, you have to take it on board.
Yes, you do. You've got to show respect to the person that you're taking photographs of. But then on the flip side, the person who's having a photograph been taken obviously needs to understand that these photographers have got to be very quick. You know, I think understanding generally is what was needed in this incident. I think she gone, look, you know, he shouldn't have said it like that. And he'd probably gone, yeah, sorry, I was just trying to be quick. I'd imagine that's what it was. But yeah, I just watch what you say to people. You've got to treat models, both male and female, with the utmost respect. Or people who, I mean, she's obviously a presenter, isn't she? And in this Ted Lasso program that I've never watched. You know, so you have to respect them. But also, if you're having your photograph taken by someone, you need to respect the photographer too, I guess. There just needs to be that understanding, because that's the only way you're going to not have these issues, I guess. Interesting, though. It's hard.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, right. So it's time to bring the shutters down, Mark.
Let's just
give a shout out to our patrons, Rob Percy, Mira Zainab, Carl Shervell, and
Nick Payne.
Nick Payne, that's it. Yes, thank you very much, guys. Anybody else that wants to join on the patrons, that would be brilliant. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you on the next episode. Cheers, guys.
Bye for now, guys. Bye-bye.